Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
In the mood to listen to some geeky conversations? Feel like the internet isn't the best place for an in-depth, respectful exchange of ideas? Then head on down to the 42cast. It's a weekly show that covers a new geeky topic in comics, TV, movies, literature, or video games every week. We can be informative.
Back in my day, kids, Pluto was a planet, so it's gonna stay a planet.
Irreverent.
You learn so much from the X-Men. I mean, really. That Wolverine is the most important character no matter what.
Strange.
It's like, you know, Grodd if he went into theology or something.
Right?
Or controversial.
I believe, and I will swear to my dying day, that the Marvel Cinematic Universe began with Howard the Duck.
Find us on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, 42cast.com, or ESOpodcast.com. It's the 42cast, your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything.
Are you ready, kids?
Hello, Papa.
I can't hear you.
Hello, Papa.
Oh. Who has a podcast made under the sea?
Monster Sci-Fi.
How is it possible? How can it be?
Monster Sci-Fi.
Geeky nonsense be something you wish.
Monster Sci-Fi.
Then drop in the deck and kneel before Zod. Ready?
Hello and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am the host, The Monster, back to give you the first sci-fi news for 2017. Or as I like to call it, the alternative 2017. Yes, it does feel weird the way things have been going for the past month. Yeah. So, in light of everything that's been going on, I am not planning to comment on what has been going on. Rather than, I just want to focus on what I do. What gets me through today is talking about sci-fi stuff and making podcasts and talking to you about that. That's the only goal that I have right now. Outside of that, outside of the real world, I don't care right now, because this is the most important thing that I'm doing right now, is to do this show. So, as always, I always have a big three topics that I pick from each week. So the first topic I'm going to be talking about is on Highlander, which is going to be rebooted into a trilogy, which, okay, sounds okay. Then we have news about Ben Affleck stepping down from directing the Batman movie. And we have Peter Capaldi, who is the latest Doctor, and he is leaving after this series is done. And I'll talk briefly about the passing of John Hurt, an incredible, incredible actor who has been around for many years and has lots of influence in sci-fi. So I'll talk about that at the very end of that. So let's get started with the Highlander. If you're as old as I am, and remember when The Highlander, the first movie with Christopher Lambert, came out, my God, was that a great movie. It gave us swordplay, not lightsabers, but it gave us this contest of immortals who have to chop each other's head off in order to become the one who will inherit all this great knowledge and bring some ultimate benefit to humanity, whatever that was. And then the sequels happen. And then that really went downhill from there. The second one tried to explain the whole Immortals things, that these were people from another planet, which does not make sense. And even though they re-edit the movie and took out that whole part about being aliens, it was still a disaster. And then they made a third movie, and then a fourth one with Adrian. I was going to say Adrian Zemed. What's with Adrian Zemed? Jesus, that has nothing to do with Adrian Zemed. I'm blanking out on his name. Adrian Paul. I'm blanking on his name, but it's really Adrian Paul, not Adrian Zemed. Again with the Zemed. Why am I saying Adrian Zemed? I haven't been watching TJ Hooker or, you know, Grease 2 lately, so why Adrian Zemed? I don't know. So, going back to Adrian Paul, the Highlander, he played Duncan MacLeod, as opposed to Connor, who was Christopher Lambert. The TV series, phenomenal. That's what really helped save the franchise. And Christopher Lambert did play, did a cameo in the first episode and loved it. So ever since then, there's been animated movies, kind of false starts about continuing this franchise, considering how disastrous it's been after that first episode, or the first movie, I should say, of the series. And then by the time we get to the fourth movie, Christopher Lambert and Adrian Paul are there together. And to put the story aside, because it doesn't make sense in the context of, wait a minute, he was the Highlander, he already got the prize in the first one, so are you telling me that he dies in the fourth one, but somehow he's still, I don't understand. I love the movie because it's two Highlanders working together, the Connor and Duncan working together, but it does not make sense in the grand scheme. So it's a hot mess, but it's still beloved by lots of people. I, for myself, and including my wife, we had way back when the VHS box sets came out. So we got those as a fan package. So they would include the whole set for the whole season, and posters and trinkets and all this. It was like, oh my God, this is so great. I love Highlander. But honestly, it's a very old movie. It does still hold up in some parts, but really what sings for it is the fact that there's the Queen soundtrack and Freddie Mercury singing Princess of the Universe, which is my favorite song. It still has a special place in my heart. So I will not say it's an awful movie, other than after the first movie, jump into the TV series. And that's all you need to do. But it is going to be remade. So, like anything else, it's not an original thought. It's not an original movie. We've been down this road before, in which, why are we doing this again? Until I came across this article this week, in which Chad Stahelski, if that's how you pronounce his last name, had just done John Wick. And next Friday, February 10th, today being the 3rd, he has John Wick 2 coming out. So, this is, again, me being the nerdiest person that I know. I actually checked out John Wick just so I can comment about this section of the podcast. Because he is interested in doing the reboot for the Highlander series. So, literally, 10 minutes ago, I just finished watching this movie. And if you haven't watched it, aside from the first couple of minutes, which is kind of brutal, not so much that he is, you know, beat up pretty savagely, it's the fact that because he has, and I'm doing this as a spoiler, only because if you're an animal lover, I want you to go into this mindset that the dog does get killed, but it's done very quickly. I don't like it, but it is really part of what he does throughout the whole movie, and it makes perfect sense, and I'm actually fine with that. But normally, I hate when animals are put in that situation for the sake of, like, oh my God, this is going to be the worst moment ever. This actually does have meaning for John Wick. So again, I'm not going to spoil it for you any more than that. But just know if you go and if you not watch this, then you're prepared. But after that point, wow, I really was entertained with John Wick. And I know this is an old movie, a couple of years ago already, but I'm just starting to get around to it. And only because of this article that came out because of Highlander. Again, I just watched this movie just so I could say, okay, I get what this guy's about. So I was doing some research on IMDb, and he's really like big time. He's a stunt action guy and a coordinator, and he's just now made the leap to actually directing. So he has this under his wing, and it's got the second one coming out next week. And an article was talking about, well, he wants to tackle Highlander. And I'm like, okay. And he's going about how just like everything that I just mentioned before, the problems that the franchise had after that first movie, and taking all the great elements of the TV series, where you had the Watchers, you had the different Immortals, and the backstories. That whole universe was definitely more fleshed out and done properly. So what he is trying to do is, let's look at the Highlander as a trilogy with expanding that universe. So we're not basically, you know, what are we going to do for part two? No, there is a game plan here that he has. So I'm really happy about that, because again, when I looked at John Wick, and it does feel like there's a whole universe that we're just scraping the very surface of John Wick's life. And there's a hotel that John Wick, and I guess similar people like what he does, stay in a hotel called the Continental, which is kind of like what Immortals go to for the church. It's sacred ground. And it was treated kind of like that. And I'm like, oh, so I kind of made that kind of connection to what the Highlander does with the church and then the Continental Hotel for John Wick and his profession. So that really started to get me excited that I, okay, if this is what he's going to be doing and this is the direction he's going to be doing, I'm all for this, because again, I love Christopher Lambert. I love Sean Connery. But I would love to have a great series that really focuses on telling something more about than just the whole contest and the immortality, but a grandiose sense of this world. We haven't had that in a very long time. And again, the first movie does that. But then once everything is all done, Connor McCloud is the last immortal alive. So I'm hoping that whatever this story is, by the first movie, when this gets done, doesn't end the exact same way. I want to see this unfold. And I'm willing to plunk down my money, plenty, just to see this. So I'm very excited that we're planning to do this. He even talked about keeping the actual soundtrack from Queen, because it's very much part of that series, and you really can't distinguish it out more like, you know, Star Wars. You cannot have a Star Wars movie without John Williams' score. So Queen is very much so part of that series of Highlander. So again, I'm very happy to have that being mentioned, And he said also that if it's comes out to be an R movie and it's fun, so be it. It's an R movie. But as he mentioned, it's like, well, if you can cut off people's head and still be okay with the PG rating, then he'll be okay with the PG rating. So that's kind of weird, but I don't know if that will happen, but who knows? But based on everything that I've read so far and what he is going to be doing, and if John Wick next week really hits it, he has carte blanche to do Highlander however way he wants to do this, which again, as I mentioned, I don't think it's going to be a bad deal coming from him, considering if you haven't seen John Wick, do yourself a favor, watch it. And if you watch the Highlander series or to watch the TV series, you'll understand the correlation that I just mentioned. All right, so look at all that. I just spent 2 hours to watch a movie just to comment in less than 10 minutes, so that's me. All right, so let's get into Batfleck, which, remember when there was all that flack about Ben being the Batman? I was on board. I was the many people that were complaining about Ben Affleck. But Batman versus Superman, one of the best Batmans that I've seen in a very long time, fantastic. Him being now the Batman in his own solo movie, he was planning to executive produce it. He was going to star in it. He was going to write it as well as direct it. So that makes a hell of a lot of hats to wear in one movie. And I understand where he's coming from. The fact that it's taking a lot to do all these different things. But sometimes you do have to kind of step back and allow some of the responsibilities like directing to be taken out of your hands. So you may be familiar with the material, but let someone else take care of the day-to-day responsibilities. And I get that. So I'm not faulting Ben at all at this. There was a thing in which, as I was doing the research, Matt Damon talked about, and I can't find his article, I cannot find his video where he was talking about that he was executive producing a movie or producing a movie, and one of the things that he decided, because he wanted to direct it, was take himself out, because he had too many other things to worry about in addition to directing. So if anyone knows what that movie was, I don't think it's Manchester by the Sea, but it seems to be that's the case. But I don't know, because he was supposed to be in this movie and he wanted to direct it, but he put someone else in and someone else is starring in place of him. So I'm not sure if it's Manchester by the Sea. If it is, please let me know. So when he talked about that, it's the exact same sentiment that, like, oh, I get what Ben is saying. But Matt said it first. So, okay, I get that. So my thing is like, well, who would you want to direct the Batman movie? Well, Christopher Nolan, of course, did the great series, the great trilogy, Batman series. I don't think I would want him back, not because he's done a terrible job. He's done a phenomenal job. I just don't think that he would be wanting to come back into that world again, because he's got plenty of other things to talk about or other things to explore. James Cameron, way too busy doing, 25 Avatar sequels? No, he's going to be way too busy, so cross him off the list. Steven Spielberg, no, that's not who I would have anymore. J.J. Abrams, it's supposed to be dark. Why are these all lights flashing in camera at night? It should be dark. I don't want J.J. Abrams. He's done enough. He's done Star Trek. He's done Star Wars. I don't want him anywhere near any more comic book movies anywhere. He's done Alias, he's done Mission Impossible, he's done Lost, he's done enough. Let him do something new. different. Stay away from stuff that we grew up with. Don't touch. So, a couple of things came to mind. Kevin Smith. He has been quite busy. Not so much in the movie on the big screen. He has yoga hosers that came out a year ago. But he's been busy on the television screen. He directed recently Supergirl episode about a week ago. He will be coming out later this year for another episode for Supergirl. He did The Flash last year. So as far as him knowing his material, I think he's good at what he does. I think Batman, as dark as it is, could use a lot of his little nerdy touches with humor. I'm not sure he would be up for it. I know he posted a video on YouTube in which he's commenting on Ben Affleck dropping out, but I purposely did not finish watching it or finish all the way through just because I didn't want to have my ideas be tainted by what he thought. I'm going to watch it after I'm done with the podcast and see if he would consider it. But again, this is just a wish list. This is not something that I would want to happen. But considering he did Superman Lives, he turned down the Green Hornet, even though he's written the comics. Again, I would like to have him be part of it. That, again, wish list. George Miller, I would put maybe as my number one guy next to Kevin Smith. Just because of what he has been able to do all these years with the Mad Max series, the last one being Fury Road. He was also planning to direct the first Justice League movie way back when, I forgot how many years ago, but basically right before the writer's strike happened, he had a full cast. Armie Hammer was in it. And there are a couple other people I'm blanking out on their names, but he was all set to do a Justice League movie. I would definitely put him in there. But considering what he can do visually and with the action, I think that will be a really good solution to the problem of who's going to direct the Batman. I would love to see that happen. But if that doesn't happen, here's another alternative. How about Quentin Tarantino? I know he is very brutal with his violence. I'm sure he won't be cussing up a storm as much, but if he does a Batman movie. But I love his storytelling. I love his direction. And being that Batman is a dark character, why not give it to him and see what he can do with it? I will definitely go with that. And lastly, the other director is Guillermo del Toro, who's done Pacific Rim, who's done the Hellboy series, Pan's Labyrinth. Again, visually, he is stunning as a storyteller. Great directing with actors. I would also pick him, but I don't know how busy he still is because, again, he couldn't do Pacific Rim 2 due to other obligations. So I'm like, all right, something has to happen soon because this movie, again, Marvel already has their stuff set in stone. They already have their directors. DC is really kind of not there. They have an idea. It seems like there's a game plan going on, but it doesn't. It has to happen. It will happen. I don't know who will take it from this point on. Who will carry the ball and take it to the goal line? I don't know. But hey, let me know what you think, because maybe you have a better suggestion as to who should direct the Batman. So I would be interested to read from you who that would be. But again, I gave you my picks: Kevin Smith, George Miller, Quentin Tarantino, and Guillermo del Toro. All right. So we're coming almost down to the stretch. Peter Capaldi, the last really old doctor, is going to be leaving after the series is over. So, we have a new showrunner, and like with any showrunner entering in, and it always seems to be happening similar, is that you have a new guy, and then you got the guy who's been around for a couple of years. There's going to be a bit of a clash, and I'm not saying that this is the reason why Capaldi is leaving, but I think it's time to not overstay your welcome. Matt Smith, David Tennant especially, I felt went on a season or two much longer than they should have stayed. As much as we dread that whole, they're going to regenerate into another doctor after we got used to this doctor and we think, oh, this is the best doctor ever, the next one is even better. So we'll see whatever happens with that. So that opens up a whole can of worms. So this week, there was some news about, nothing really official, but it just, there seems to be interest about who should be playing the doctor. And before Capaldi became the doctor, people, again, had the same conversation. Someone of color. Someone who is not a man. So there's a reason why we're back to this all over again. So Hallie Atwell, who, if you know, is Agent Carter, and she was in another series, something called Convictions, that she left Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to do this series on ABC called Convictions, and then that got canceled, but then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also got canceled, so she needs some work. But if you go with what she did on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., oh my God, what am I talking about? It's Agent Carter. Oh, jeez. I have to admit something. It's 12:37 at night that I'm recording this, and it's really late. So I'm surprised I didn't screw up that much. But then again, that would explain the whole Adrian Zemed thing in the very beginning. So, all right. So going back to this, Agent Carter, great series for two seasons. Really a lot of fun. A great character actor. I would love to see her take over the role. Now, having said that, David Tennant, as you know, was also the doctor. He has a series called Broadchurch, or Broadwater. Is it Broadwater? Broadchurch. Okay, so his co-star is Olivia Colman. And he said that she would not be a bad doctor. He actually thought she would be really, really good in that role. Now, I can't say for certain if that's a good thing because, one, I have no idea who the hell this person is. I have not seen her acting, let alone that series. All I know is that I've seen Hayley Atwell act, and I love her tremendously. Now, the other thing there was mentioned was that Joanna Lumley, and if you know her, she's from Absolutely Fabulous, plays Patsy Stone. I guess did this Doctor Who parody for a Red Nose fundraiser comedy special. So she played the Doctor for a bit, and that might have been the first and the only time that we have a non-male playing that role. But my head, when, again, before Peter Capaldi took over, I thought about Jennifer Saunders, who also is part of Absolutely Fabulous, who plays Adina Monsoon. And I thought she has more of a comedic, quirky, neurotic personality that really would lend itself to a little bit more physical comedy within the Doctor, but still smart enough and kind of can hold her own. So I thought about her as opposed to Joanne. But again, I will still go with Hallie. So there's nothing wrong with that. But so I posted this on Facebook and I got a couple of responses. And I'm going to read off a couple of things. So Jeff who wrote and says, "For me, it's not a sexist thing, but I don't want to see the Doctor become female because it's historically a male role. Create a new and amazing female roles that people can get behind. River Song, Amy Pond, Clara Rose, and such. All equal and sometimes more beloved than the Doctor. Why use the character's sex as a gimmick when it can be a strength? I'd rather make strong female characters because they are characters, not because they are female. I just like making the Doctor... I'm sorry. Just like making a Doctor female would not improve the character. It would just be a gimmick." All right. So to respond to Jeff's comment, we have the last... I haven't watched this new season, but the season before, where we had the Master, played by Michelle Gomez, who is fantastic. And I love Michelle Gomez as the Master. And having her be a female, to me, adds another dimension, another complexity to the history of these two characters, of the Doctor and the Master. So I had no problems with that, and actually I thought that was more refreshing than to see another male white actor playing, you know, another role that has been done previously by other white males. And I'm not saying that the other guys are bad, but I guess to me it was just, it's time. That's all. It's just time to do something different. And considering this is a character that regenerates into anyone, why not a female? That's all I gotta say. So, we have Melissa, who wrote, "Haley's an amazing actress. She portrays a smart, strong, independent woman who could do anything. Having Haley take on the role of the Doctor will allow diverse roles and dialogue. I think this will allow the story to go in a different direction and add more viewing to the already popular show." And then Victoria writes, "We've already had 13 Doctors, and none of them have been female Doctors, and also straight and white. I love her as an actress. I also want to see how this affects the relationship with the Doctor's companion. Would it still be female? Does that mean that their relationship could be with a female companionship? Would it be male? Will they fall hopelessly in love with an older woman like most of the women?" And lastly, so Jennifer from Earth Station MCU podcast wrote, "The next Doctor is probably going to be a person of color or woman. I'm psyched about the former, somewhat less about the latter. But much like Marvel, Doctor Who has yet to ever let me down with their casting leads." So the other point I wanted to bring up was that I even talked to my daughter, who watched Doctor Who, grew up watching her Matt Smith, David Tennant, and even David Capaldi to some degree. And she came up with this idea, basically, and it boils down to this: representation. It's time that we have some representation. And it's not a clear argument about, let's say, let's make James Bond a woman. Let's make James Bond black. I think in the scope of things, and there's valid arguments on both sides about not changing a character's physical sex as opposed to not making sex an issue, but still changing the character in a different way. You have Battlestar Galactica, Starbuck, who is a woman. The original Battlestar Galactica, Starbuck is a man. But as I mentioned before in the podcast, it affects me more now watching TV when I don't see people of color or I don't see women being represented in lead roles. I think Doctor Who can afford, with considering how long it's been on television, can afford a season or two to have either a person of color or a female lead. It can afford to do that. I agree, if this was a different time and Doctor Who never happened, I would then make Doctor Who a woman right from the beginning, or someone that is of color to represent what has not been shown on television. And I'm not getting on a high horse about this. I just think that it is time to look at things different. We can still appreciate what has come before, but we need to embrace what is going to be coming down the road in the future. If the series is going to survive, we need to be inclusive and not have this mindset of never changing what has been done. It cannot last. It gets to be a point in which you're going to lose people. You will not be able to retain them. Look at, if you go to conventions, people that I've seen who do cosplay and switch the gender. I've seen a female version of the Justice League, and the one female character, which is Wonder Woman, was played by a man, but in a male version costume of Wonder Woman. My friend Connie, hi Connie, dressed up as Constantine 1 year, and she looked fantastic. My daughter dressed up as Doctor Who, as Matt Smith, and I got the fez from Mr. Jean, and as well as the, what is that thing called? Is it the sonic screwdriver? It's really late. So I didn't want to discourage her for not being able to dress up as the Doctor. There is no reason for any person to dress like someone else. I've seen women dress up as Han Solo. Fantastic. I love it. It doesn't take away from what the character is. I would love to see different lenses on the characters we love. There's, you know, if you look at the Japanese manga comics, Star Trek was adopted and put into a manga. That's nothing wrong. You can explore that world and do a pair of eyes that are different. That doesn't sound right. Anyway, all I know is that growing up, you need to see people like you on television, that you're not alone. You do matter. There is someone that you can aspire to. And it should not, in a perfect world, it should not be about sex. You're a good person, regardless of who you are, regardless of your sex. That's the person you want to aspire to. A good leader is a good leader. Male or female or person of color makes no difference. But unfortunately, we don't live in that world yet. So in the meantime, there has to be representation. All right, so let's get into the last part of the podcast, in which I'm going to be talking about the late, great John Hurt. I remember watching him for the first time back in 1979, a little movie called Alien, where he played Kane, in which up to that point, I have never ever seen something so disturbing and yet be so memorable as the chest-bursting scene from Alien. I loved his performance in that. I watched him in The Elephant Man, which is directed by David Lynch. I mean, there's the list goes on and on and on. I mean, he was the War Doctor, speaking of Doctor Who, that was for the 50th anniversary, and Hellboy. So he has been part of my growing up for a very long time, and lots of movies that I've loved his performance in. But there was something that I, because I'm a fan of this group called The Art of Noise, and if you're, again, as old as I am, remember a song called Beatbox. This came out somewhere in the mid-80s or so, or early 80s. So I've always followed their music, and there was this one album that came out in the late 90s called The Seduction of Claude Debussy.
Imagine an actor saying the following.
Imagine me saying the following. When Debussy died on March the 25th, 1918 in Paris, it was being bombarded by the Germans, and it was raining.
And basically, he narrates kind of the biography or the story of Claude Debussy, and through different beats and atmospheric music, he's narrating, and it's so different and so enjoyable to hear his raspy voice with this beautiful music. And oh, if you do are listening in Miami-Dade and you have a library card, you go through our music site in which you can actually listen to this album for free. So you can stream the album. Or the option is also you can go to YouTube and you can listen to it there too. But still, it's one of my favorite albums that I like to listen to a lot over and over again. So I am sad that that has happened, that he has passed. But considering that his career has been as long and as varied, you know, with all the different projects that I love that he's done, we are saddened for his loss, but he has left a treasure full of movies still to watch. So I am not as upset as his passing. I think he has lived a great long life, and again, left us lots of wonderful memories. I'm just more sad about what has happened in 2016 with too many people dying too soon. So, and again, I'm going to be up there soon, and I know 50 is nothing at this time of our lives to be thinking that, oh, it's over. It's not, and I have to keep reminding myself that. But still, I want to keep on doing as much as I can for as long as I can. So I do hope you really are enjoying the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am doing a hell of a lot more that's going to be coming out. So I'm trying to produce at least one podcast episode per week. In some cases, you might be getting three. So as I mapped out the entire year, we're looking about almost 80 episodes for this year, starting now until mid-December. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm still behind a lot of things, but again, it's fun. I love what I do, even though it's really late right now and I'm still not going to bed. I love doing this, and I hope you hear that in my voice, even though it sounds like I'm talking really deep and scratching. Alright, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm losing my voice now. Alright, so thank you very much for listening to this episode. So, questions, comments, concerns, please email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Find me on the various social networks. Find me on Facebook, especially if you're looking for really cool videos. I do post great stuff there, so if you're looking for something that's fun and interesting to watch, that's geeky and nerdy like I am, that's where you want to go until you hear my podcast. So on that note, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a different point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.